You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
You can talk me into it.
What, the wishbone?
Sure. You can talk me into it.
Get out of here.
And the Bulldog.
The Lombardi Trophy could be in here, and I would pick it up and treat it like a roll-on deodorant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Some rudeness there. I don't know why Joe tortures Bulldog with that clip.
Oh, I stand by it. It's not that winning the trophy isn't like an accomplishment to be respected. It's not that. It's just the trophy itself. I mean, the Buccaneers were throwing it around the bay or whatever, the waterway, wherever they were. I just don't think it's as revered a trophy as the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup, I won't even touch. That's the point. Like, I wouldn't even want to get too close to the Stanley Cup. The Super Bowl trophy, like, you know, whatever.
Don't even want to get near it for fear that its aura will overcome you.
Right. Or that I will somehow, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't make any sense.
Some sort of false valor or something by being near it as someone who didn't play.
I don't deserve to touch the cup is how I feel. And I know that's not rational, but that's how I feel. The Super Bowl trophy, although I also did not play professional football, need it be said, with Ross Tucker on the line, I just don't feel the same about the trophy. That's all.
Joining the show, Odyssey NFL Insider, our friend Ross Tucker. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ross, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I don't know what I jumped into here, but I actually one time did touch the Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah?
And I was told not to. You know, I worked for NBC for a while when they had that pro football talk show, and they had the Stanley Cup there one day, and we were able to, like, take pictures with it. And I don't know. I guess I touched it, and somebody told me not to. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Hockey, Ross, hockey has so many. The logo in the dressing room on the floor is a big deal. I don't know if football has anything that's like that, but like reporters have gotten scolded by team members in many NHL cities if they are standing on the giant, like the logo is almost the entire size of the room, right? So there's nowhere else to go, really, but if you step on it, look out.
Sounds like a racket.
You know, I'm trying to think about what there is in the NFL, and you people walk over the logo all the time. There's nothing, I don't know, if you're not allowed to touch the Lombardi Trophy. I can't think of anything like that, to be honest with you.
Maybe at midfield, right? T.O. got into a spat or two.
Right, the logo on the field at your home stadium, if the visitors get on that. That's
you know what? Yes, I think it's like, and honestly, it's not, you can walk on it. You can step on it, but if you're like celebrating on it or acting like it's yours on the other team's home field, then that's a problem. Then like I remember when George Teague took out T.O. That was amazing. Like that's not okay because that's just kind of like disrespectful. I don't think touching the Stanley Cup is disrespectful. I don't think walking over a logo is disrespectful, but like stomping on it or parting on it kind of is.
Makes sense. Right. Ross, before we get into some football, whenever we've spoken, and this is half a dozen times or so now, you always make a point to say how fondly you remember your time here. So I think maybe the events of Saturday in Buffalo might have like certain special meaning to you because of that experience you had here.
Yeah, I probably don't have the words eloquent enough or the right thing to say. I think the older I get, sort of the more frustrated I get and then you see all the stories of the people that lost their lives and what these people did with their lives or what they were doing when they happened to be in the grocery store. And obviously, I'm very familiar with Topps grocery store up there. It's just awful, and I'm not – I don't think it's a political thing. I don't think it's a political thing for me to say. It's not okay, and one way or the other, we need to figure out how to be better because this stuff doesn't happen in other countries.
Yeah, thank you. Buffalo is reeling from it, of course, and Buffalo loves you, too. Whenever you're on, Ross, I get a lot of, you know – Buffalo also loves players and people who love it back, you know, like that sort of mutual happy place.
Well, you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? It's funny you say that because what I noticed playing for five teams is that I guess you could phrase it two ways. On the one hand, you could say that Buffalo was the most appreciative city I played in. Meaning the fans are, like, so appreciative of the team and that we're there and that they have an NFL team, which I think is wonderful and shows itself. At times, though, it almost comes off as, like, an inferiority. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember, you know, after my third or fourth year being at a bar in New York City, because that's where my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, was living. And a guy from Buffalo was living there, and he saw me and recognized me and was like, are you Ross Tucker? And he was like almost apologetic, like, thank you so much, man, for playing for the Bills. Like, I know you guys would probably rather be somewhere else, and it's probably not the team you want to play for. And I was like, not at all, man. I love it there. Like, it's awesome. Now, I will say there are certainly guys, especially in their early 20s, that are looking for a certain type of nightlife and activity that probably are not enamored by Buffalo. There are definitely guys from the South that don't love how cold it is, and I can remember having those conversations. But I loved it, and I loved it for a lot of reasons, one of which is how appreciative the people were, but also – I think I told you guys this before. We were like, we felt like a real team. You know, you don't really feel that way in pro football, right? Like when I played in Washington, some guys lived in Virginia, some guys lived in Maryland, some guys lived in D.C. Everybody kind of went their separate ways. You know, Dallas, it was like, you know, these guys went to the strip club every day after practice. Not that I got anything wrong with that, but I'm not like an everyday guy. I wasn't into that. New England, you know, you got Brady living in Boston and, like, Larry Izzo. Some guys live in Providence, everywhere in between. Buffalo, like, we all lived in Orchard Park and Hamburg and out there, and we all hung out together either, like, at the Big Tree or we'd go to Bledsoe's house and he'd, you know, get a keg of, like, Labatt Blue. It was just, like, I don't know, man. It was just real. It just felt like you could really hang out and you felt like a team and we did stuff together much more so than the other teams I played for.
Yeah. I definitely can that inferiority complex point you made at the outset here is something that I think we have, I mean, Mike and I have been in this job together since 2003, Ross. So we've heard a lot. We've been through a lot. We were together for the entire drought and, I think that has been a thing, and that is what makes what's going on now so special. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, for me, I don't want to just speak for the fans, for myself, to see them in the opening Thursday night game at the Super Bowl champs, to see Josh Allen plastered all over, even, you know, the made-for-TV golf event thing. Like, they are on the map in a big way, and so is he, and it's been a long time coming, and I don't know, maybe we'll always have that sort of, that you know, in the back of our mind, that gnawing insecurity, but this team has done a lot to cut into that, I'd say.
Yeah, so many thoughts. One is, you know, I make no moans about it. I have an affinity for the Bills, and I like when they do well. I know I'm an analyst on TV or in radio, and I've got the Ross Tucker football podcast and stuff, but I'm very open about the fact that I like when the Buffalo Bills do well. You know, there's always 5% of me that's, like, jealous that we weren't able to do this kind of stuff when I was there. You know, the second half of the 2004 season when we went from 0-4 to 9-6 and we were killing everybody, and it was just such a great vibe. And I really wish we had beaten the Steelers in that last game and made the playoffs so that the streak hadn't been so long. It would have only been like a 5 or 6 year streak at that point. But still, it just would have been really cool to make the playoffs as a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in between, like, I remember, like, when they signed T.O. and being on the radio, and Bills fans were just so happy they got T.O. because people were talking about them. And I remember thinking, this is not the way it should be. Like, this is not, like, this guy cannot play at the same level anymore. You're not going to be good because of this. But it was like they didn't care. I think Bills fans just wanted to be relevant. They just wanted people to talk about. Now, I was doing a national radio show, so I think they just wanted to be a topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. I guess I get that, but that kind of goes back to the inferiority. This is the good stuff, right? Like being talked about because you have arguably the best team in football and arguably the best player in football. This is the genuine thing, not like, oh, we signed T.O. and people are talking about us because we got a big-name guy. I will say this, though. I'm nervous for you guys. You know, the Bills are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, and that's great. But I guess how often does that team actually win it? And I'm a little bit nervous about the expectations. I guess this is where you want to be. This is where you need to be. I just really want them. Like, I'm still, like, I shouldn't care, but I am mad about that Chiefs game because they were going to beat the Bengals. I was gonna be on the sidelines for Westwood One, the AFC Championship game in Buffalo against the Bengals. That place would have been nuts. I would have put whatever beer in my pocket so as soon as the game was over and I'm interviewing Josh. Like, I mean, that place would have been bananas. The Bills would have won. They would have been in the Super Bowl. They might have beat the Rams. They might have been, like, I mean, you guys probably talk about this every day, but I still think about it. And I haven't played since 2008.
Yeah, it just came up earlier this in the first hour of our show today, Ross. I was referencing how, you know, in the day or two before the schedule was released, CBS or NFL, the NFL account, whatever, somebody was teasing the big Bills-Chiefs regular season matchup, and it was a montage of highlights from that game. And it's, you know, it's the middle of May, and I still got mad. I still was burned watching it. And it's, it's until they win one, that is going to be the thing.
Yeah, and I guess I just hope they're able to meet the expectations and not sort of, crumble underneath them. Look, I'm glad they drafted Elam. I love that pick. I'm glad they got Cook. I love that they got Von Miller. But you still have to kind of go out there and do it. And what we've realized the last couple of years, I would say this postseason in particular, it's really hard. I mean, ask the Bills. Ask the Chiefs. You know, everybody thought the Chiefs dynasty. I mean, they've hosted four straight AFC Championship games. They've gotten to two Super Bowls and they've won one. You know, I was at the Bucks Rams game when the game before, by the way, the Bills Chiefs, because I went back to my hotel room right after the game, and you know, the Bucks came back. The Bucks could have very easily won that game, but the Rams found a way to do it. They found a way against that. They won the Super Bowl. It's just there can only be one. And so while I know that the Bills fans want it so bad, and I want it so bad for you, my wife, she was devastated because of her fond memories from Buffalo. She was devastated when they lost the Chiefs. She was so mad that she stayed up and that they lost that game. She was so mad. And she was like, it's been the rule for years. She's calling me being like, why didn't Josh Allen get a chance? Like, this is not fair.
Overtime.
I'm like, oh, Kara, I've been talking about this every day for like 8 years. Now, like, thanks for listening to my show. I mean, what are we talking about? It's unbelievable. But I want every Buffalo fan to take this to heart. Make sure you're enjoying the journey. Yeah. I think they'll get one. I hope they get one. I certainly hope they at least get there. But make sure you're enjoying every aspect of it, because it's special and there can only be one. And you never know. It might not be in the cards, just like it wasn't for Jim Kelly and those guys. And I guess I wonder how many people enjoyed those journeys back in the 90s versus, you know, were so upset that they didn't get it done.
With Ross Tucker, what a pleasure. Just a few minutes left with Ross. You've said a lot of things. You know, we say them, and, you know, what are the, you're the favorite, but what are the odds? You know, this kind of point. You're not the only good team. Green Bay would be next, or close to next, on the list of favorites. And they're also on the Bills' schedule, a Sunday night game. You talk about how hard it is to win Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers would know. I mean, with the career he's had, having been to one all this time. How do you, like, what do you have to say maybe about the way that the quarterbacks in the league have sort of are distributed here, with so many in the AFC, in particular the AFC West? Ross, I mean, the AFC East, due respect to those teams, but the confidence is high here in relation to Miami, New England, and the Jets, as opposed to, say, the AFC West and the NFC overall. So it's interesting how that's all fallen.
Well, yeah, I think it's good that guys like Russell Wilson and even Matt Ryan, to a lesser extent, aren't in the AFC East. Although, clearly, the Miami Dolphins think they're going to be pretty good, and they're kind of loading up with Armstead and Tyreek Hill. But, yes, the Bills should be the class of the division. I'm sure you guys talk about it a lot. They need to get the number one seed. I just don't envision someone coming into Buffalo and winning a playoff game. I've been at the 3 playoff games in Buffalo the last 2 years. It is off the chain. It's it is incredible, incredible environment. No one's coming in there and winning that. So they can't lose to Jacksonville or whoever. It can't happen. And I think they know that. But your point about the AFC is well taken. You know, it's pretty remarkable to me that the Bills are the favorites, considering how competitive the AFC is. I mean, the AFC North is loaded. AFC West, loaded. I think it's a much easier path in the AFC East. I mean, and really, in general, in the NFC, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I can see a team like the team I do the preseason games for, the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I can see them potentially, you know, being a surprise Super Bowl team, sort of like the Bengals last year. I don't think the Eagles would be able to get that done in the AFC. There's just too many good teams. Whereas in the NFC, I can kind of see them, depending on the seeding. Maybe the Packers and Bucks play each other, and the Eagles are able to knock one off in the championship game, like the Bengals. Like, I can see that happening in the NFC, not in the AFC.
And I think there is that game on the schedule, by the way. So, you know, it's a few months away, but we can't wait, talking about it every day. And it's great to talk to you again, Ross.
Anytime, guys. I love when you have me. I love being up there. Oh, my, you don't even understand. I knew I was going to be on the sideline for the AFC Championship game, so I wanted so badly for it to be Buffalo so I could just drive up there. I was going to ski at Holiday Valley the day before. Like, I had my whole weekend planned, man. It was going to be unbelievable. Instead, where did I have to fly? I had to fly to I had to fly to Kansas City, which I've been to so many times, and it's just annoying. So anyway, forget everything else we talked about. The Bills need home field advantage for me and my driving and skiing schedule, okay? It's about me, guys.
Nothing wrong with that.
I can support that. I got no issue with that.
I endorse it.
Yep.
Ross, thanks so much.
And by the way, if you see a 6'5", 250-pound guy coming down Holiday Valley, get out of the way, because I can't slow down.
Noted. Yeah.
All right, we will. Great to talk to you. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. It's been a while since I thought about 2004. The recent years that end the drought and you have playoff wins. I mean, the Kelly years are still so prominent. The getting to the Super Bowl four straight times. 04 as like a thorn in the drought. Mm-hmm. 04 stood out, but with the drought in the past, I haven't thought about that very much, and I think that's why. Joe, do you remember that? Like, where? How far back do you go? You probably do, 2004.
I remember it. Bledsoe's really the first thing I have, like, memory of. So I remember the run at the end and, like, thinking about, like, what they needed to have happen and, like, especially on the final day and the Jets-Rams game, I think it was later in the day, and how that impacted the game. So, yeah, like, that's the first time for me, though, where it's, like, a real playoff race.
The Bills game was they needed to win to have a chance.
They needed the Rams to beat the Jets, I think,
too. They needed the game, the result later, which they would get, but they had already lost. I remember Bulldog for one particular thing during that run. Ross talking about how they just, you know, slaughtered teams down the stretch there. And that was the NFC West. Like, they blasted all four of those teams in the NFC West. And you and I that year went to Fallsview. Mm-hmm. For our post-game show and four Bills games. We watched them from Fallsview with, you know, with fans, and there was food out. And do you remember what this is going to be?
I don't, because in my head, we're at Casino Niagara that season, not Fallsview. But you might remember
year.
It better than I do. I remember the booth at Casino Niagara being a different setup than Fallsview, and yeah. I remember watching that Ram-Jet game in that booth, I feel like, but...
No, that was a different year.
Okay.
And it might have been more than one, but 04, Rams the Jets, remember we were out by that fountain.
Okay, I remember the fountain. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, Bledsoe is done. I was just mad at him that they lost that game to the Steelers. Yeah. That's what I remember saying on that post-game show, I think, is like, he's gone. And that turned out to be right. But the Rams game, so Rams at Bills is one of those games. And we watched those games from that ballroom. The Avalon,
that's right,
ballroom,
yeah. Okay,
where they do concerts. I've been to several concerts there, and the Bills game was on the big screen. And you and I are standing. We'd say a couple things during the game. You and I are standing together watching some pick six or some play against the Rams. And you go, man, they are killing these guys. Like just sort of like that. Like they are killing these guys. And it was just awesome because they. Like turned it around that year, like Ross said, and I can remember you saying that, standing in that room, yeah. No one else is with us. You're watching some play and go, they are killing these guys.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That team was hot. Yeah, I mean, I remember. I mean, obviously, I'm a little cloudy on exactly where we were there, because I'm commingling different memories from doing Bills post game shows at casinos in Canada. Anyway,
happens to anybody. It can happen to anybody.
Right. I mean, it's
common mistake.
It's a long time ago now. But, yeah, I mean, that was – I can remember making a point about, like, watching the pregame shows then, which, all we mostly have done since we've known one another is make fun of those shows, and especially now. But, like, then I was like, well, what does Shannon Sharpe think about the Bills? Like, it's Ross's point from earlier in the conversation about the inferiority, like getting approval from a guy who I don't know or really barely even care about on TV. Like, yeah, feed me, give me approval. I need it, And that was, what are we talking about? 5 years without the playoffs?
That was so, only the fourth or the fifth.
Right, the fifth.
That's right. 2000 through 04. That point. Aaron Schatz always with how the 04 Bills are the best team they've ever charted that didn't make the playoffs. And I think that's still true. Probably going to have a good chance of staying true now that it's seven teams per conference. I mean, they'll let just anybody in the playoffs now. Pittsburgh.
I want to stop this conversation before one of us says something like, I miss the drought.
Yeah, no, I never would. not today.
Yeah.
We have sports next. We'll have Paul on 6 o'clock hour like yesterday. He's going to Rochester for the playoffs tonight. And we'll have open phone lines. 803-0550 is the number. Did power rankings already? get you some more information about how you can help and donate. We haven't done that too much yet, if at all. I'm not sure I've read any of that information yet, which is a mistake. So we'll get right to that when we return. This is Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
The narrative going into the season was, if the Maple Leafs have another first-round flameout, there's going to be sweeping changes. There's going to be personnel changes, there'll be changes on the bench, there'll be changes in the manager's suite. The only question is, how high up the food chain did the changes go? But then they went through the season they just did, and it was 60 goals from Auston Matthews. It was a career season for Mitch Marner. It was stretching the Tampa Bay Lightning, stretching them to 7 games, and losing by 1 goal. For some, they looked at that and said, hold on a second here. If you believe in process, the Maple Leafs have now taken that next step. But make no mistake about it. The fan base is hot. In their minds, they don't want to hear anything more about process. All they know is this is another first-round flameout, and they're looking for changes. I think there will be changes, but I just don't know that it's going to be the changes that I think some Maple Leafs fans are hoping for or would expect.
I mean, I'm not laughing at him at all, just sort of the idea. Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet on our morning show today, that we talked about the Leafs yesterday. On behalf of the rest of the teams in the NHL, I think I can safely say, go crazy with that roster, Toronto, really. I mean, yeah, right. Make sure you do what the fringe of the fan base thinks you should do. Like, get rid of everybody. I think that's probably... that's probably called for at this point. It shouldn't be all they know that the Leafs lost in the first round flameout, etc. They should know the rest of it. You know, most fans do. But yeah, you're going to have some people who go crazy with the idea that, like, everybody is flawed because they lost, you know. Most of sports, I think, is past that, but not all. So on behalf of the Sabres, go ahead, trade everybody.
I think a lot of sports is, and I think it's awfully easy to be objective about it when you're not there. Like, I know we're miles from this concept. I mean, to imagine being the Sabres continuing to lose in the first round only. That would really be trying, I think, a lot of our patience. I certainly me. But, you know, we haven't been in the playoffs in 11 years, so it seems ridiculous to even contemplate, I guess. But, I get why the fans want change. I think because, you know, what are we going to just keep doing this? But they are good. I mean, I think it's right to say that they're good, and they lost to a very good team.
Yep, we'll see. I don't know anything about what they will do. We're not putting names on any of this except for Matthews. I heard Matthews' name, and I don't think anybody would think that the Leafs are better off without Auston Matthews.
No, and I did. I guess today was the day for all that, like the, you know, the postscript and all that, and so everybody spoke. Shanahan spoke, and I saw a quote from Dubas that was described as him being like sounding more flexible about the core of the team than he has in other years after this. He didn't say, like, we have to do something, but it's more just, you know, it's all cliche stuff. But I guess in past years, what I read, I think, from Matt Larkin indicated that he's been more adamant about we're not touching the top of our roster, and I think maybe he sounded today like there's a little more consideration to be given to that. Doesn't mean they'll do something drastic, but just, you know, it doesn't sound untouchable where in other years maybe it did.
Mm-hmm. Look forward to talking about the Leafs and the Penguins in particular this offseason. The Sabres are at a point where it's interesting again, which is a step up. And they're a little bit promising, if not a lot. There's still a long way between where they are, at least in the standings, and what that is. And that this is a Leaf team that can't get out of round one.
Right.
And part of that is the division that we play in.
Right. How many points did they finish behind Toronto? 30?
Yeah. Like, Toronto had 115. No. So more than that. And you know, just to say this too, like, we're all kind of aware how this is a tough matchup and they've had these before. When you think about the history of the Leafs, it should be said that it's not – like, the last 2 years were not this. Last year losing to the Canadiens
right
at home, and the year before losing to Columbus, are not on the same level.
That's not the Bruins in Tampa.
No.
That's right. Yeah.
It's or Washington that one year that beat them. You know, like, they, it's the, this happened and that happened, but the last couple of years was softer. The Leafs, you know, that the team that lost to Columbus did not have this kind of good record. You know, they were good, but not great. And, you know, that team lost. So here we are, year after year. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with you. Ross Tucker, Trista Crick already today. Yesterday, we spent, most of our show on what happened on Saturday in the city. And a few different times, several different times, trying to find some way to be useful in the process of healing and recovery. Mentioned different organizations that are doing great work to collect food and other supplies, do what's needed. Buffalo Community Fridge is one. I've seen tweets from them at, or about them, if, at least, at Buffalo Community Fridge. I have a tweet from an account, Rooted in Love, WNY, which is, it says, is collaborating with the Buffalo Community Fridge. Pictures of stacked fridges and shelves, which is great. So you can follow them for more. Feed More WNY as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how about, I'm a geek when it comes to cooking shows. And one famous name in the culinary world is Jose Andres. World famous. Especially for his charitable work. Going to places that have, you know, a natural disaster or different type of, you know, urgent needs. And World Central Kitchen is that organization at WC Kitchen, which is working downtown with, or, you know, in the city, in the neighborhood affected, most of all near the Tops. They've got volunteers there and working as well toward this. So
yeah, awesome. I did just come across something a little while ago, and I only just retweeted it thinking I was saving it to retweet it for when we would talk about this, because it's the first I've seen anyway through feedmorewny.org, which you already mentioned. There is a portal there if you're interested in, you know, doing more than just bringing food. They have a opportunities to volunteer, all kinds of times available, lots of different warehouse volunteers, home delivered meal volunteer training. There's lots of opportunities to, like, all kinds of times of the day, and that's all there at that site, feedmorewny.org. And like I said, in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, just before we started talking this segment, I tweeted the story about that, the link to their page. So if you you know, are of the mind, you got some time and want to do something, I think that's maybe a good place to go to explore the opportunity to do that.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. We'll take a break. This is WGR.
I know that'll be a big game. A lot of emotions. I'm sure fans will eat that one up, and it'll be fun and make for a good storyline. But at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be just another ball game, and it's going to be a huge divisional game. I'm excited for it, but at the same time, I'm trying not to get too excited for that one because, again, it's just football and can't press, can't do too much.
I'm excited for week three, but you can't get too excited for week three because you just can't get too excited. It's football. You can't press. How about weeks one and two? Carson Wentz, by the way, the Commanders play the Eagles in week three. You know, I was thinking about you again. I've had a lot of, like, references to Bulldog, and he's here, too. Like, we are here talking, but almost like you're not. So I'm drafting at a site called Underdog tonight, Underdog Fantasy Football, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Adam Krautwurst, and they have a tournament where the top prize is $2 million. It's a best ball tournament. It's $10 million in prizes, which is, it's massive. It sounds massive, and it is, even compared with these other ones. Like, the main event that I played in last year, it's about a $2,000 entry, and I had a few of those teams, and the top prize was $500,000. But that is How many teams is that? Like a few thousand teams or even less? That is 4,200 teams. This is 451,200 teams.
That seems like a lot.
30 times more than the FFPC's bigger tournament, which is the football guys. So anyway, that's a lot of math, sorry. I'm drafting over there tonight. But this underdog, you should check it out. Because they have like, they have $10 drafts on tonight's hockey games. Where like the three, if Joe wanted, if you wanted, the three of us could do a private $3, $5, $10, probably goes up, draft on the players in tonight's two NHL games. The Tampa game and then the Avalanche. And so, you know, they take a little, they take, if we each put in $10 for a $30 pot, they would take $3 out. They'll take 10% rake. But, you know, that'd be something fun. So, you know, you're doing parlays and you're doing some player props. I hear you talk about home runs.
Yeah.
But Underdog has this, and this week is the PGA. They have sort of draft-type formats for the golf and every sport. So, and plus you're both dogs. It's Bulldog and Underdog.
Oh, I see.
There's a natural
tie-in there.
Tie-in, yes. Yeah, they have two-person $100 drafts on the hockey games and then three-person pools at 25 each. Joe, I asked Joe about Underdog too, and he doesn't seem to like spend too much time over there.
No, I can't. I gotta stay cool. Gotta stay right here where I'm at in the leagues right now. Focus on them. They deserve my attention. Maybe down the road.
But you know, I'm just talking about like a little contest with tonight's games.
I don't like the little contests.
Oh,
I need something bigger to think about.
Yeah, that's why I'm always doing the complicated parlay stuff, and that's got me to the point where right now I'm not prepared to bite off anything new because I'm wheezing. The time could come for me to have to actually deposit money. I've dipped. I'm okay, but tonight feels big.
Really?
Tonight feels big.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's my own criteria. Like, I just don't want to have to, you know, dip into my bank account. I haven't had to do that. I feel good about that. That this has been like a self-contained, you know, sustainable thing. I was pretty flush about a week and a half ago, and I've had a tear of tough. I've had, you know, just tough outcomes here. I haven't won anything in a while.
You're due.
I'm due. Tonight's my night. I hope.
That can't be good logic.
But no, of course not. No,
no, but there is.
I'm due tonight's my night.
There is no good logic with this.
No. Sorry.
If you've been losing, yes. It's not because you didn't know something.
Right.
It's because it's a coin flip. Like,
right.
They beat you with the VIG. Over time, you know, you're going to have that. If you played forever, you would eventually run out.
Yes.
Because you're going to win half your bets. And, well, if you're betting parlays, it's not going to take that long. But
right.
Even just betting straight bets,
right.
It's hard to win. That's all I'm saying. It's hard to
win.
Yeah,
it is. It is. Yeah. So, again, I feel good that it's, you know, here mid-May, and I'm still sort of, you know, I'm okay, but it's getting tight.
This started when? January?
Yeah, the day before the Bills-Chiefs game, I think, was the playoff game in January. Yeah.
Let's be real, though. It really started at the Olympic ice hockey tournament.
USA-China.
That's when it really got going.
That was hot.
We need more of those. Yeah. That's the logic you need. That's how you win.
Well, you got to find
those two teams playing each other specifically all the time.
USA and China.
USA and China. Like just a series.
I think we were lucky.
We I've never really told you this, but the intel that I had from John Gale, from his son, was who plays, you know, he plays rec hockey in China, and before they made the accommodation to allow the KHL guys in was where, like, he was like, this team is going to lose 30-1.
Are you saying that all that was misinformation?
I'm saying that it wasn't entirely accurate.
Wow.
But we won anyway. Hey, listen,
we won anyway. But, I mean, I was watching that game going, this is close.
Yeah,
and they did pull away. They just sniped a bunch of goals, and they did pull away, but it was not the mismatch.
No.
I believe we were led to believe it would be.
I mean, yes. it, it, it wasn't right on the ice maybe as much as we thought, but the score ended up like 9-1. Like I had minus US minus 7 and they covered.
Right.
I mean, I know, but this is big. This is a big development. Actually, this is a big development. All right. The Bills. So
forget I said it because I like the idea of Joe Ostrowski thinking I had intel on the Chinese national hockey team, which we did have. It was outdated.
It was outdated. But we did actually have some. Let's delete the whole thing. We never had this conversation. Get back to the Bills next. 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.